1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And I want you to notice that phrase there that Paul used. He said, "And that rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. And that's going to be our subject this morning, is the rock of our soul, amen, or Christ the rock. This morning we want to say several things about Christ our rock with the Lord's help. But by way of introduction, years ago the Lord gave me this message, gave me these thoughts, and they've been a blessing to my heart down through the years to help remind me of what the Lord is to me. Amen. And but rocks, when we think about rocks, and of course there are different types of rocks, and some are soft and some are hard. Amen. And of course flint rock is pretty hard. Where I grew up in Kentucky, we had a lot of sandstone. We had flint rock as well. We had all different kinds of rocks. But rocks are firm and immovable most times, good for foundations. You want your house on a solid foundation. And of course, in times past, rocks were used for houses, in houses, and on houses. I guess they still are. People build houses out of rocks. And of course, rocks are deep rooted, they say, sometimes, and some reach high above the ground. Rocks are good for defense. You can either throw them or hide behind them, all right? But rocks are durable, and they're permanent and lasting. Rocks yield the purest water. They help purify the water. And, of course, rocks yield the most precious stones and metals. You think about gold and silver and things like that. They come from the rocks. And, of course, rocks make good shadow or a shade in the heat of the day. And then rocks are dangerous as well to stumble on or stumble at. And, of course, you can get hurt by falling on a rock, all right? But Christ is mentioned here by Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 as Christ our rock, amen? And the Bible is full of references of the Lord being a rock. And we want to talk about that in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water, that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?' And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." I want you to notice here that the Lord told Moses, after the children of Israel murmured and complained about not having anything to drink, He said, "You take the elders of Israel, amen, with you, and you take your rod in your hand," and He said, "You go to the rock of Horeb, and I'll stand upon the rock of Horeb, and you smite the rock of Horeb, and it's going to give forth this water for you to drink," amen. And so Moses did so, And there was a river of water gushed out of that rock in Horeb and supplied the needs of the people of the children of Israel. And of course we see in this portion of scripture, Paul said that that rock that followed them was Christ, amen. And so spiritually speaking this morning, that rock that was smitten in Horeb was Jesus Christ. It's a type of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was smitten for us. And so he's a smitten rock this morning. And of course he was chosen of God. God didn't just choose any rock out there in the wilderness, but he said the rock that is in Horeb, said I'm going to stand upon the rock in Horeb, and said you smite the rock in Horeb. Amen. It wasn't any other rock, any other place. Amen. God had a specific rock that he wanted smitten. And so he said the rock in Horeb. He's a chosen rock. Amen. And so Jesus Christ was chosen of God before the foundation of the world. Amen. To be your Lord and to be your Savior and to be smitten on your behalf. And so God said, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Amen. And so God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so he was chosen of God. Not only is Christ the smitten rock chosen of God, but the Bible teaches us that the rock in Horeb was an earthly rock. It was of the earth. And of course we know that Christ was a deity, amen, who became humanity, amen, in his incarnation. When he came down to this earth, he left the portals of glory, left all the glory and honor that he had there in heaven, and made himself a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. The Bible says it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He took on a body of flesh. Amen. He came to this old sinful world. And so this speaks of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That rock in Horeb. He's the smitten rock chosen of God. He was the earthly rock. And he was a pure and innocent rock. Did you know that that rock in Horeb had never lied? That rock in Horeb had never lusted? That rock in Horeb had never killed anybody. That rock in Horeb had not done anything wrong. Amen. That rock didn't do nothing wrong to be smitten. Amen. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do anything wrong. He did not sin one time. He didn't lie. He didn't murder nobody. He didn't lust after anybody. Amen. He did not covet. He didn't do anything wrong. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Amen. That rock in Horeb hadn't done one thing wrong. And our Lord and Savior hadn't done anything wrong either. Amen. 1 Peter 2:22 says he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Psalms 92:15 says, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. There's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. Amen. He was a pure, innocent rock. He's a smitten rock, chosen of God, earthly rock, and a pure and innocent rock. And not only that, but he was smitten by the direction of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now Moses didn't just go out there and start swinging his stick and hitting rocks. Amen. He wasn't playing rock ball. Amen. He wasn't hitting rocks out in the road like I used to when I was growing up. Take a big old board and get them gravel stones and knock them all over the place. That was my ball and bat. Amen. When I was growing up. But Moses just didn't smite any rock, and he didn't smite it at his own direction, but he smit it at the direction of God.
Amen.
And so he said, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. Amen. And Romans 8:32 says that God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Amen. And then over in Isaiah chapter 53, if you want to turn there with me this morning, a great portion of scripture in Isaiah and chapter 53. I want you to notice what the Lord says here. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, for he should grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Amen. I want you to notice that phrase, smitten of God and afflicted. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and God is the one that smote his Son on the cross for our sins. Amen. Man could have not killed the Son of God had not the Son of God laid his life down, had not God the Father delivered him up for us all. Amen. They couldn't have killed him.
Amen.
But he was smitten of God and afflicted, the Bible says. And then he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, with his stripes we're healed. I want you to notice there, he was wounded for our transgression and smitten of God, just like Moses took the rod of God, amen, and smote that rock. That rod represents the law of God, amen. Now the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Why is he being smitten? He's smitten for us. Why? Because we're transgressors of the law. We have sinned against God. We transgress the law. But God made him a sacrifice for us. The rock in Horeb hadn't done anything wrong. He's innocent and pure. And that rock was smitten at the direction of God. And that rod represents the wrath of God poured out through the law. Letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. Amen. So Christ is a smitten rock. Not only is he a smitten rock, but he's a supplying rock. In Exodus 17 verse 6, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. What was the need of the people? They needed water. They were dying of thirst. You ever been so thirsty that your tongue cleaved to the roof of your mouth? I have, but everybody in Tucson has probably. Amen. I woke up at night, I couldn't even swallow. But I've never been out in the desert without water for 2 or 3 days, like some of these illegal crossers are that die out there in the desert every year. I don't know what it would be like to die of thirst, and I really don't want to find out.
Amen.
But the children of Israel were thirsty. I mean, they was out in the wilderness and they're thirsty. They have nothing to drink. And they're murmuring, complaining against God. They're not believing God. They're not trusting God. But they're complaining against God. But God tells Moses to take his rod, go over the rock in Horeb and smite that rock. And that rock, there's going to be water come out of that rock when that rock is smitten. So Christ is a supplying rock. If that rock in Horeb represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does, amen, then Christ is a supplying rock. What did he supply? He supplied our salvation, didn't he? Amen. Revelation 22:17 said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Jesus Christ is the water of life. And he said, let any man take the water of life freely.
Amen.
Amen. So what did he supply? He supplied the water of life. Himself is the water of life. He's not only the rock, but he's the water. Amen? So he supplies our salvation. We had a spiritual thirst when we was lost.
Amen.
I was thirsting for something, and I didn't know what it was.
Amen.
And I found out what it was when the Lord found me, and I found the Lord. And I got saved by the grace of God. That spiritual thirst in my soul was satisfied. Jesus Christ is the only one that can satisfy the spiritual thirst in anybody's life. And so Psalms 114:8 says, God turned the rock into standing water and the flint into fountains of water. God turned the rock into standing water. Now, how does he supply our salvation? Of course, it's through the Word. Amen. One way he supplies our salvation is through the Word. That standing water in the Scriptures represents the Word of God. Still waters, standing waters, stable waters, represents the Word of God. And the Bible teaches we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, those standing waters, He turned the rock into standing water, and the flint into a fountain of waters. Now, a fountain of water is moving water. In the Scripture, moving water represents the Spirit of God. And so, you got to be saved by the Word and by the Spirit. Amen. Through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the rock and the water of life. The Bible says in Psalm 78:15, He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Running water, moving water represents the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 7, verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Spirit of God is a river of living water flowing out of our belly. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because it's through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God that we receive the water of life. And we become a vessel. Amen, of the Spirit of God. Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so the rock was clave, which represents the cleaving of the side of the Son of God. When the Roman soldier thrust that spear into his heart, the blood and the water gushed out. Ran out. When God's Son was smitten on the cross of Calvary, the blood and the water came out. The blood of redemption, the water of regeneration, amen, flowed from the heart of the Son of God. Jesus Christ supplies our salvation. Not only does He supply our salvation but through the Word and by His Spirit, amen, but He also supplies our peace. When you get saved by the grace of God, He puts peace down in your heart. Amen. Deuteronomy 32:13, the Bible says He made Him ride on the high places of the earth, that He might eat the increase of the fields, and He made Him to suck honey out of the rock. You ever sucked honey out of the rock? I've sucked honey out of the rock of ages, amen. What are you talking about? That honey represents peace. The supply of your need, your heart, amen. The supply of your salvation, the peace that you need with God. Isn't it sweet to walk with the Lord? Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it sweet to know that you're right with God and God, you're no longer under the wrath of God?
Amen.
We've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. And so He supplies our peace. He supplies your anointing. What anointing? The anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. Why do you need the anointing of the Spirit of God? You need the anointing of the Spirit of God to serve Him. When we sing, we need the Lord's anointing on us. When we preach, we need the Lord's anointing on us. When we witness, we need the Lord's anointing on us. What does that mean? That means we need the fullness of the Spirit of God. Oil is for light. You know that? They used to use oil for light. Whale oil, all that, different kinds of oil, coal oil. All right, oil is for light, it's for anointing, it's for service. Of course, here we're talking about the anointing of the Spirit of God. Oil represents the Spirit of God as well as running waters in the Scriptures. Now, oil softens, don't it? You know what can soften your heart? The Holy Spirit. He can soften your heart. Oil makes pliable. Spirit of God will make you so soft and flexible that God can use you any way He wants to. Amen. And oil heals. It's like Sunday night service when the Spirit of God began to work in here. He had a healing effect upon us. He has a restoring effect upon us. He has a softening effect upon us. When He begins to work, when the Spirit of God begins to work, He gets us the place where that we're pliable in the hand of God. That He can move us and make us, mold us and make us into any kind of vessel He wants. And so the Bible says that there in Deuteronomy 32 verse 13 again, the Bible says He turned the rock into standing water and the flint into fountains of water. And then He said, and we sucked oil out of the flinty rock, Deuteronomy 32 verse 13. Sucked oil out of the flinty rock. How did you receive the Spirit of God? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God came into your heart. The Spirit of God equips you with the ability to serve the Lord. Amen? As you yield to Him. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So Christ is a smitten rock. Christ is a supplying rock. Not as the Lord Jesus Christ smitten and supplying, but He's a sheltering rock. Amen. Turn to Exodus chapter 33 this morning. Exodus 33 and verse 16. Exodus 33:16. The Bible says, "For wherein," Exodus 33 and verse 16, "and wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And He said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And He said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And He said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." The Lord said, "There's a rock by me." You know who's seating at the right hand of the Heavenly Father this morning making intercession for us? It's none other than our rock, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a sheltering rock for us. I want you to know, sir, in Exodus 33, verse 16 through 23, that God said, "You can't look on my face," but He said, "There's a rock by me, there's a place by me, there's a rock by me." Said, "When my glory passeth by, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock while my glory passeth by." Said, "Then I'll take my hand away, you'll be able to see my back part." What does that mean, amen? Well, the cleft was in the side of Jesus Christ. They opened up a cleft in His side with that spear that rammed up into His heart. And when you get born again to the family of God, God puts you in Jesus Christ. You're in Christ forever. You're in Christ eternally, amen. You'll never be able to escape the heart of the Son of God, amen. You'll never be able to get out of the cleft of the rock. Thank God, when God puts you in Christ, you're there eternally. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Amen. He's got you in His heart, amen. He's got you in Him. He's got His hand covering you up, and the hand of the Father's over His hand, amen. Devil can't find you. The devil will never be able to get you. You'll never be able to lose your salvation.
Amen.
And hopefully you never want to. I never have wanted to since I've been saved. Been saved 31 years and never one day in my life have I ever wanted to lose my salvation.
Amen.
I couldn't lose it anyway. Amen. Why? Because He's keeping me saved. Romans 6:3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So we've been baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You've been baptized into the body of Christ. You're in Jesus. So He's sheltering you. Amen? Now because we're in Christ, we're sheltered. What from? We're sheltered from the wrath of God. Amen? What are we sheltered from? From the wrath of God. Romans 8, 5, chapter, verse 8 and 9. Chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. But God commends His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Amen? I'm not worried about God pouring His wrath out on me. That means I'm not going to hell. That means I'm not going to perish. I'm not talking about not getting a whooping. I'm talking about God is not going to pour His wrath out upon me. When God's wrath is kindled, amen, there comes destruction. There comes much pain, amen. But I thank God I'm a child of the Lord. I'm in Jesus Christ, and Christ has sheltered me from the wrath of God. God does not see my sin anymore. My sin's washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I've been justified by faith in Him. So I'm sheltered from the wrath of God. Not only sheltered from the wrath of God, I'm sheltered from the wicked one. Amen. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for He is my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. He shelters me from the devil. Amen. Not only from the wrath of God and my the wicked one, amen, the old devil, but from my worldly enemies, amen, as well. 2 Samuel 22:1, the Bible says, David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He shelters us from our worldly enemies. Shelters us from the wrath of God and from the wicked one. And so Jesus Christ is the smitten rock, supplying rock, sheltering rock. He's a solid rock.
Amen.
Amen. He's not just any rock, but He is a immovable rock. He is a solid rock. Amen. Deuteronomy 8:15 speaks of Him as the rock of flint. A flinty rock, a hard rock. You take those old flint stones, you know, make the sparks fly. You know, they're hard. Scratch them things together and the sparks will fly. You won't wear them out too easy now. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to endure forever. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the firmest foundation that you could ever build on. Psalms 41, again, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. The Lord inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. So our feet have been planted on the solid rock. Amen. He is the solid rock of your soul. He's immovable. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have an anchor for the soul. Who is the anchor of our soul? Jesus Christ. He's the solid rock of your soul. He's the foundation of your soul. No other foundation can man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's not only the solid rock of the soul, he's the solid rock of the home. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 this morning. Matthew chapter 7. If I can find my place. And let's begin reading verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. The Lord Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Lord said, if you do what I tell you, if you hear what I'm saying and do what I tell you, you'll found your house on the rock.
Amen.
Said, there's going to be winds come. There's going to be storms come. There's going to be winds going to blow and beat upon the house. There's going to be storms in your life. But if you're founded on the rock, you're going to keep standing.
Amen.
You're going to keep standing. If your home is built on Jesus Christ, it'll keep standing. If that mom and that daddy and those children are doing what the Lord said, amen, it'll stand.
Right.
It's when we don't do what the Lord says, we get in trouble. Notice what he said. Everyone that heareth, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He said, if you don't build your house on me, you're on sinking sand. If you don't do what I tell you to do, your house is going to fall. Amen. And so we've got to ask the Lord to help us. Amen. Base your soul upon the rock. And base your home upon the rock.
Amen.
Amen. On Jesus Christ.
Right.
Not only that, but he's the foundation of the church.
Amen.
Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 this morning. And verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now he's not building on Peter, but he's building on Peter's confession. What was Peter's confession? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Savior of the world, amen, the Savior of men. And Christ said, I'll build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. The church is not going down, the church is going up. I'm out of here, amen, one of these days. Church will never be defeated by the devil. I'm not saying that local assemblies can't fall. I'm not saying that local assemblies can't cease to be, because they can. But the church will keep marching on. Who is the church, by the way? Church is not a building and church is not a location, but the church is everybody that's born again of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, amen. We're the church.
Amen.
We're the body of Christ, amen. And we're going to keep on marching on. Devil's not going to prevail against us, amen. And so, he's the foundation of the home, he's the foundation of the soul, he's the foundation of the church, he's the foundation of the nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, amen. And if our nation does not have the Lord as her God, amen, she won't stand.
Amen.
But thank God she stood thus far, because the God of heaven has been the God of our nation. in history. I hope she still is today. But he is the solid rock. And lastly, I'd like to say he's the supreme rock. No greater rock. 1 Samuel 2:2 says, "There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." No rock like him. Psalms 18:31, "Who is a rock save our God?" Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." He's the most firmest rock. He's the strongest rock, the highest rock. He's supreme.
Amen.
Isaiah 8:14 says, "He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Why? Because he came to his own received him not. Those who do not receive him, he becomes a stumbling stone, stumbling block. And those who fall upon the Lord will be broken, and those whom the Lord falls on will be ground to powder. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying he's supreme. And if he falls on you, he'll grind you to powder. If you fall on him, you'll be broken. Amen. You'll be anchored. Once you get broken, you can get anchored. He becomes your salvation. He becomes your foundation. Amen. He becomes everything that you need when you fall upon him. Amen. Fall upon the rock. Smitten rock. He was smitten of God for us. Supplying rock, supplying our salvation, giving us His Holy Spirit, putting His joy in our heart, and giving us peace, amen, and all the things that we need. Sheltering rock, sheltering us from the wrath of God, the wicked woman, and worldly enemies. Sheltering us from all kinds of enemies, amen. But He's a solid rock, the foundation of our soul, the foundation of our home, the foundation of our church, the foundation of our nation. And then He's the supreme rock. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the solid rock. Do you know him this morning? I'm going to ask Joel to come and lead the singing this morning. We're going to sing that last song we sung, page 390 down at the bottom of the page. How firm a foundation this morning. If you need to come and ask the Lord to save you, you come to this altar. If you need the Lord to help you with something, you obey the Spirit of God. If He wants you to come and pray, you come and pray. Amen.